Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 39, these are God's words. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, and he stepped out on the land. There met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man who entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also, who had seen it, told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. And then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed through the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the things that this passage especially encourages us to do, and I want you to be doing often, is to ask the Holy Spirit that he would lay hold of our hearts and give us a true knowledge and appreciation, a grasp of the fact that Jesus is the living God, that Jesus is the creator of all things, who is from all eternity. He is the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He is the one through whom all things were created and nothing was created without him. He is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. As you are listening in chemistry class and you learn about protons and neutrons and electrons. We still know so very little, but we're amazed at the powers and forces involved in holding the core, the nucleus of the atom together. And we learn about the electrons and we're amazed at what they can do. And as you get further along and you find out that there is an uncertainty principle, you know, the fact that we cannot know ever where an electron actually is because of our limitations. But God is not so limited. Not only does he know, but he upholds all things by the word of his power. And the one who has given himself for us became a man to do so, and is that God who upholds all things by the word of his power. The question of Jesus' identity is the main question. The disciples are scared of the wind and the waves, and they're terrified, and they say, "Master, we're going to perish." But they are more scared when the storm is over than they were in the midst of the storm. Why? Because they're asking the question, who is this that the winds obey him, that the waves obey him, that the created order obeys him? And of course, the answer to the question is implied even in the way that I just asked it. He is the Creator. He is the living God. He is not a creature. He has entered into the creation. He has become part of the creation. He has added humanity to himself, but he is the Creator. And the disciples were terrified, and the demons were terrified. Say, "We know who you are. Please don't cast us into hell yet." The one who gave himself for us is the one who has power not just over the created world, but over the entire spiritual world. And it will be as nothing for him to cast Satan and all of the demons into the lake of fire. And if he so much as wills it for a moment, they must go and they must stay. And the demons were terrified of this. Look at the power of Jesus Christ. And the people from the city were terrified when they saw the man clothed and in his right mind. What power could be greater than the power of these demons, by which this man would break his chains, and no guard could keep him in the city, and he would go and he would live in the caves that had been hollowed out where they were putting all the dead bodies of the dead people? There was a legion of demons, not just one. And so they had been terrified of him when he had the demons, and they were more terrified when they found out that there was something or someone nearby that was stronger than all of those demons. And the demons, being wicked and powerful, remember, as soon as the Lord Jesus permitted them to enter the pigs stormed down the hill into the off the cliff and into the sea. They said, "Oh, there's a power greater than those demons. What are we going to do?" And then the swineherds who had seen Jesus do it tell them how it happened. Yeah, that guy just said, "Go." That's all he did. Reminds you, doesn't it, of Psalm 46? The nations rage and the earth trembles. He utters his voice and the earth melts. So great is the power of our Savior, of our Redeemer, that he is the living God. And how dreadful a thing it is that there are so many who hear stories of Jesus, Sophia, who hear preaching from the Bible about Jesus, all of my dear children, and they are bored and unaffected and just think about how they're hungry or have to potty or who they want to talk to. And is the sermon over yet? And does it sound like he's in the conclusion yet? If there is one thing that the Lord Jesus is not, it is boring. And if we are bored by him, even if the preacher is boring, lots of boring preachers, but even if the preacher is boring, if he is talking about Jesus and we are thinking about what he is talking about, we must not be bored, because we will be worse than the demons. In the book of James, the Holy Spirit tells us by the brother of Jesus there, that the demons believe and shudder. James was probably thinking about this account from our Lord's life and other ones in which demons cried out at the sight of Christ. And how spiritually dead does a man have to be that he could hear or think about Jesus and have barely any reaction? Now, the amplitude of the reaction should be very high for the demons, very high to the bottom. They're terrified. But for those who trust in Jesus Christ, very high to the top. Like the man at the end, right? What did Jesus tell him to go tell? He said, "Please let me come with you. I am not unaffected by you, Jesus. I want to be with you. I want to see what you do. I want to have fellowship with you." And Jesus says, "Well, if you really have this commitment to me, then you need to do what I say, not what you want." Lots of us in our Christian lives look for what we want from Jesus. "Jesus, I just want to feel boyfriend fuzzies about you forever." And the songs of the churches are full of such nonsense. "Give me all that I want you to give me." That's not how it works when your Redeemer is God. You say, "What you want for me is better." And so Jesus tells him, "No, not right now. Right now, you go and tell what God has done for you." But what does the man know about God? Whom does he know God to be? It says, that's right, Victoria. It says, "Then he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." And so the Christian life is being convinced that Jesus is God and trusting in him and having great confidence and joy in that trust and being committed to him and loving him and obeying him because he's God and telling others about him who is God and who has done so much for us. But what a dreadful thing that so many of us are so fleshly that this being impressed by Jesus and convicted by Jesus and serving him and loving him, obeying him, and telling others about him is so rare. Barely registers a blip. That's why I began by telling you that one of the things that you need to be doing for the rest of your Christian life on earth is asking the Holy Spirit to impress you with Jesus. So that if you're not converted, you will be terrified. But also asking that same Spirit to give you faith in Jesus. So that having faith in him and being impressed by him, you will be comforted and strengthened. If you're on the boat with the wind and the waves, you would laugh and say, "My Savior commands them." And you're not afraid of any demons. You say, "My Savior will utter his voice and they will be cast into hell. They are terrified of him." And when you go and tell others what great things God has done for you, you will tell them what great things Jesus has done for you. Let's pray. God, the Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us more awareness so that we would not be cold and dead spiritually, less than demons who at least were impressed by Christ. But Lord, if we end up like the demons, impressed and terrified, how great will be the disaster that comes of us eternally. So we pray that you would give us faith to trust in Christ, to know him as our Savior, our God who came to give himself for us and redeem us to himself and make us to be like himself in his humanity. And so we pray that you would give us that spiritual life, and we pray that you would give us awareness, awakeness toward Christ, that we would be impressed by him to have confidence and joy and love and commitment and strength, service and zeal, that we would be amazed at what he, our God, has done for us, and that we would tell others what he, our God, has done for us. Do this, we pray, even in his divine and worthy name. Amen.